pray right now because we have a special service today. We're not in 1 Corinthians. We can't be on a day like this in light of what Pastor George was sharing, in light of what our kids showed us. I want to remind you, did you hear what she said? 18 passages of Scripture. One passage would be that these kids learned, for example, is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. That's one passage. There's 17 more. That is awesome. She's right. Those kids know more Bible than you and I do sitting here in this church today. And that gives me hope. Father, we ask you to bless this time as we take a break just on the brink of summer. Some have already graduated. Some are graduating this week. There'll be others to follow in the weeks ahead. And so, Lord, as a church, as a family, God, we pause and we, with intentionality, with purpose, with a deliberate heart, we approach this summer perhaps like we never have before. As we take the challenge, as we do add family to all that we are going to experience, we're going to make a determination today that we are going to be doing these things to take Christianity to every room of our house, every moment of our family, whatever we do. And it will start with mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, if that's the situation, to the kids. That we are going to live out our Christianity. It will not be theoretical. It will be not sermons. It will not be hype. It will not be blab. It will be reality. And so, God, I pray, I beg of you, oh God, that you would galvanize these your people at this church. I have no authority to pray over or for any other. That this church would be alive in the home and to the ends of the earth. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, listen, with that, will you grab your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to go there now. While you're turning there, we are launching today 120 days during this summer of being very, very forthright, very deliberate about your Christianity at home. Listen, we don't care about Christianity only at church. If that's how you live, if Christianity is Sunday morning only, then you're not practicing Christianity. It is a lifestyle. It is a new world. It is an absolute changed life, Christianity is. And listen, if you have children or grandchildren, the desire, the passion, the excitement of what Christianity means, of what the Bible means, of what Jesus means, is absolutely driven in your heart to the point of communicating this to your kids or grandkids. That Jesus is Lord. That the Bible is true. And you're going to be able to argue as to why. As we've been studying on Wednesdays in our worldview series, the young generation today, the 18 to 30-year-olds, are saying that we're giving up on the Bible, we're giving up on church, we're giving up on faith in God. And when they bring forth their arguments, many of them are emotionally based arguments. Few of them are logic-based arguments, meaning the Bible cannot be true, and here's the reason why. But when the question is brought forward, you can discuss and you can argue with them and you can bring them to a place of entertaining the truth. But today we're sending children out into the world and they're not equipped. They don't believe in the God that you believe in. Why? The church hasn't failed. People are quick to point at the church, but the church has not failed. Our homes most often have failed. Because the kids are saying, I can't believe in my mom and my dad's God. I see an absolute disconnect from what they claim to believe, what the Bible says, and what is a reality in the world that I've grown up in. And we are committed as a church to changing all that and changing it now. And yet we don't have to do the work, honestly. God has gone before us in this. We're looking at a message this morning regarding our at-home ministry here at church. It is called Christianity at Home and Forever. This way, at home, it starts now. And forever, just like these kids who memorized all of these passages of Scripture you saw a moment ago, that word is in their heart forever, and it is the Holy Spirit who will reel that up in moments that are critical to these kids. Do you know that? Some of these kids may forget these verses 10 years from now, but the Holy Spirit will divinely, supernaturally bring it up in a moment of crisis, in a moment of decision. The Bible says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, O Lord. What an amazing group of kids that we saw a moment ago that have been galvanized against the Christless age. Well done, parents of these children. But listen, now for all of us who name the name of Jesus in our lives, listen to this. Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 4. We'll read it down to verse 9. Hear, O Israel, or put your family name in there. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, Lord your God, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them down on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Those verses have affectionately been named the curriculum for life. I like that. Because church, listen, I'll give you a little bit of a heads up. Everything that's written right here, if you look at it and you dissect the words, if you unpack the meaning of those words, I can tell you right now, based on absolute biblical authority, do you know who practiced this perfectly among children? By the way, they were children of any age. Jesus. Jesus taught, as you will see this morning, exactly what's written here, that children would grow up with a profound clarity of biblical understanding. It's not a mystery. When we neglect things, when we forsake things, or when we leave the instruction of the Word of God to other people, we're the ones that make it cloudy and strange to them. Thank God for the children's ministry here. Thank God for what those kids were challenged to do. But church, listen, where did the real work take place? At home. This church can only be a catalyst for you on Sundays and Wednesdays and various ministries during the week if you're involved in those things. But it's got to happen in your heart. It's got to happen at home. People are sick of religion. Because religion is where you drive up and park and you walk into it and then you leave. Who wants it? No way. God wants to live, as the Bible says, inside your heart. And he wants to create a throne room for himself in your heart. And live there. And that's a relationship. And so listen to these things. How do we, this summer, as we are on the brink of summer, how do we as parents, as grandparents, maybe you're foster parents, maybe you're an aunt and uncle, or and you have jurisdiction or influence, and for that matter, maybe you're just somebody on the block, and the kids love coming to your house and love goofing off and all that stuff. Listen to these things this morning, please. Because as Pastor George said, available to you today after service are so much of a wonderful help to get these things going in your life at home. It's actually, what's the word? I can't say that word. That would be offensive. You know, I'm trying to say the word where you don't have to think about it. It's like, you know. Okay, that's a good word. Second nature. I was thinking, you don't have to think about it. It's all there for you to do. Just do it. That's the biggest challenge in the world, is getting somebody to just do it. And so here we go, looking at this message this morning, challenging you guys before we get back into our regularly scheduled program next week. We look at this. Christianity at home and forever, number one, mark it down, Bible students. It's this, creating an impact. Is that not what the Bible's all about? Creating an impact in your life. When Jesus taught, it created an impact. These children of our children's ministry are being impacted by the going forth of the Word of God in a powerful way. Number one, jot it down, it's this way. Impacting them from your heart. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, listen, mark that down. I need to impact my kids, my grandkids, this summer from the heart. Why? What's my foundation for this? Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Circle the word heart. The word heart in Hebrew is this: with all of your understanding, with all of your passion, with all of your awareness, with all of your being, you shall love God. That's the life of the believer. If we love God with our entire heart, with all of our heart, as parents, as grandparents, we will radicalize a generation of loved ones under us for the glory of God. And when I say radicalize, I'm not going to apologize for that word. Radicalize them in the gospel, the good news, that they are going to be ready to take on a world that needs love, that needs care, that needs compassion. That's going to come from us. We are that generation to hand the baton on to the next, and it comes from the heart first. Listen, none of us want to be involved in anything that's not coming from the heart. Can someone say amen? Amen. There was a time, I believe George Whitefield was preaching in the United States. He had come on over from England, and David Hume, who did not believe in God, David Hume came out. In fact, Benjamin Franklin was there, and David Hume shows up. And people began to ask David Hume, why are you here? You don't believe in the God of George Whitefield? Why are you here? And David Hume said, I don't believe in the God of the Bible, and I don't believe in the God of George Whitefield. But I've come out to hear him because he believes in the God of the Bible. What a great answer. I don't believe in your God. Maybe you have a young person in your life that says, I don't believe in your God, but you know what? I listen to mom or dad, or I listen to grandpa and grandpa, grandma and grandpa for this very reason. They believe in him. They've been persuaded, they've been convinced that though they may not embrace your God yet, they see that you do because it's coming from the heart. The Bible says, listen, in Ephesians 6, verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now think about that for a moment. Let's be honest. You can tell your kids, obey me. Now look, any kid, I've concluded this. I used to think any kid 5 years of age and over, they know how to handle mom and dad. And now I'm going to revise that and say any kid about 3 years of age, they know how to handle mom and dad. But when the Bible says children obey your parents, it is a command. But you know how God speaks to you. God loves us. And God loves our kids. And when the Bible says kids obey your parents, well, listen, I want to argue from the kid's side for a moment. Why? Now, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But listen, when a little kid says, do I really have to obey them? Because they tell me to follow God. They tell me to read my Bible, but they don't. Do I really have to? When the Bible says children obey your parents, notice that the word there in Ephesians 6, 1 is in the Lord. The whole implication is that they're growing up in a home of faith. And God lovingly is saying, hey kids, walk like mom and dad. Talk like mom and dad. Be like them. But we need to instruct them, we need to lead them, and it must come from the heart. Secondly, under this point, we need to be impacting them in this sense, that it comes from your soul. Mark this down. Look at Deuteronomy 6, 5. It says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. This is a great word. The word soul here means this. Listen, to love God with all of your decisions. Wow. Boy, my mind, I can see things right now in my youth. Decisions. It means to love God with all of your will, with all of your choices. Notice who is being spoken to. God is saying, Mom, Dad, love God, love the Lord in all the decisions you make. Why? Children are watching. Have you noticed how your kids are watching? Are you real quiet because you haven't noticed? Or are you too terrified to remember that right now? Have you noticed your kids? Your kids are not listening so much to what you say about God. They're watching what you do about God. It's the sermon we preach by our actions. And I need to ask you to forgive me in advance, because I'm going to share some things, just a few things. And I don't want it to come across as Lisa and I boasting. We didn't have the helps that you guys have today. We raised our kids up 26, 30 years ago. And Dr. James Dobson was just getting started. We didn't know what we were doing. But you know what? We thank God for how the Lord led us. We had knees and we had tears to cry out to God. And so I'm going to share some things. And you might say, well, you're saying you did that. You know what? I humbly confess we did do that because God taught us and God showed us what to do. You may say, well, that's ridiculously profoundly simple. Well, I'm a pretty simple person. And God made it easy for us to do. It's just doing it, church. It's just doing that is communicating to your kids this summer your intentional faith in your family. Don't be like how I grew up with my home and my family, with my mom and dad. We do not discuss faith or politics. Do you know I believe that's one of the greatest lies from hell itself? If you're not going to discuss faith and politics in your home, then what are you going to discuss in your house? A value. You know why people say, we don't talk about faith and politics in this house? Number one, never been to your house, but you have a boring house. Number two, your house is never going to accomplish anything. Oh, you may know all the Dodger scores that season, but who can remember it a year later? No. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about politics, because we have a biblical worldview and we want to communicate our values to our kids, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Just talking like that and saying things like that's ridiculous. They're going to hear about faith and they're going to hear about politics. My challenge to you is, who are they going to hear it from? As a pastor, as a community, I almost said as a community organizer. No, I don't want to be one of those. As a local pastor, LOCO maybe, I don't know. I'm challenging you to do that, to impart to your kids what is valuable to you. The third thing is this, under this point, verses 4 and 5, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Look at verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God, what does it say? With all your strength. With your strength. Creating an impact, and I believe this trinity of challenge is important. From the heart, from your soul, that is with your passion, and with your decisions, mom and dad, your kids are watching, and with strength. What do we mean by strength? The word in Hebrew for strength is energy, zeal, efforts, action, conduct. And I want to talk about this for just a moment. This is really fun to me anyway, and I want it to be fun for you. In 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16, Paul the Apostle says, you've had many instructors. But he says, you have few fathers in the sense that someone's brought you to faith in Christ. But look at verse 5. He says, therefore, in light of this authority that God has placed my life over your life to the church at Corinth, he says, imitate me. The word imitate is where we get the English word mimic. You know, to mime. You know what mime? You know what mime is? To reenact or mimic. We were at SeaWorld a while back, and the people were walking, and the clown was behind them mimicking their walk and exaggerating their walk, you know? And it was horrifically funny at someone's expense. Right? Well, this is all in the good sense. And here's a real truth that none of us are going to escape. Someone or others of influence have shaped the way you and I think today, right now. Don't shout out how old you are, but how old are you? You know, to this day in your life, people have shaped the way that you think. Not me, I'm an independent thinker. You got that from somebody. You're a human, that's how it works. Did you know that? By the way, we are to be instructing our kids according to God with all of this understanding, with all of this passion and zeal, with all of this devotion. And God, listen, God says, and who's supposed to do that? You, parents. Do not look to the world to instill into your children the values that you hold. It will not happen. No one loves your little junior or Miss America in your home like you do. Nobody. Nobody. Think of that for a moment. The next time you drop your kid off someplace where they undermine your values. And for 6, 7, 8 hours a day say, no, your parents are wrong. This is how it really is. Be careful. Be wise. God says, no, this is under your watch, mom and dad. And teach them with all energy, zeal, effort, action, and your conduct. This is the life of the believer. This is real Christianity. And this is, to me, where it gets very, very much fun. To mimic. I'm not kidding. This is the part I warned you about. It just seemed normal to me that when we had our daughters, that, because Lisa homeschooled, our kids were homeschooled when people thought you could be arrested for homeschooling. I mean, I thought I was going to turn my wife in for homeschooling. I thought, what are you doing? And she goes, look, I'll do this and that stuff, but you do the science part. Science part? And then when do you start school anyway? Well, that's a great question. How old are they? When should you start? Wait a minute. What does the Bible say about when we should start schooling? The moment they're hatched or born. In fact, you know what the Hebrews do? This is awesome. It's pretty graphic, but listen to this. Beautiful. The Hebrews in Israel, or in the world, the Jews, when they put that newborn baby on the breast of the mother and the baby begins, when the baby begins to take milk, the ear of the child is very, very close proximity to the mother's mouth. And as soon as she detects the baby's drawing milk, the baby's drawing strength and food, that's when she says, the Lord, He is God. Did you know that? The Lord, He is God. What does that communicate to a child growing up? Comfort, warmth, reassurance, health, love, acceptance, grace, mercy comes from the Lord. That's awesome. And so in that spirit, listen, growing up your kids or grandkids, you're supposed to start teaching them from the moment. Well, how do you do that? When they're very, very, very young and nursing and all that stuff, it's constant attention in the way of touching them, touching their hands, touching their face, rub their back. Did you know scientifically that's communicating incredible power that can now, with modern technology, be monitored? Did you know that you can monitor a child's brain and when you rub their feet or massage their little ankles, plus aren't they just the fattest, cutest, little chubbiest, edible? They're edible. Put chocolate and peanut butter on your little baby's feet and eat them up. Do you know that their brain, they can monitor the brainwave activity when that happens? They begin to light up. They're developing. God did that. So I'm dead serious. Listen, our kids, before school time ever was upon them age-wise, we would take them out into the backyard or out into the park, because at that time we lived in an apartment, and we would go and we would find a rock or a brick or a pot. And you know what you do? You do this. You get down. Come here, come here. What, what? They come waddling over. What do you think's under here? They look at you like you're nuts. What do you think is under this rock? And they're like, come on, get down here. Come here, look. Get, and let them get down, way down. And what do you pick up that old rock or that old brick or that old thing. And what's underneath? Bugs. Bugs. And your kid's going to go, oh! Stop right there. That, whoa! Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. I think I scared them. You just bless them. They don't know it yet. Why? You know what? It just, boom, implanted onto their brain, onto their heart. An experience. And then you follow up with that. Wow, now you got their attention. That's what I try to do to you guys. Get your attention and then going for the kill. Get your attention and then say, Do you see that worm? Where'd he go? I don't know. He went into the earth. This is what worms do. They go down like that. And look at this guy. That little guy shaped like a Volkswagen. The little roly-poly guy. Look at him go. Look at him go. With all those legs. Listen, Rebecca, Ashley, with all those legs, why can't he run faster? What do you think? Look how they go. They go like this. They go like a wave. How does that work? Let's find out how that works. Why? And how is it? Do they? You think they have eyes or what? Do worms yawn? Get them thinking. Mom and dad, listen. Grandma and grandpa, I'm dead serious. This is how you introduce your kid to God. And you tell them, listen. Can daddy do a lot of things? Yeah. Listen, when your kids are young, your kids think you're God. Can daddy do a lot of things? Yeah, daddy, you can do anything. But daddy can't make a worm. Do you know where a worm came from? God made it. God did it. Take him down to the beach. The waves. Did you feel that? Take him down to the wedge when the waves are 20 feet high. Boom! And the ground shakes. Did you feel that? Tell them. There's vibrations going through the sand. Isn't it amazing? And the sand absorbs sound. Watch this. You talking to the sand. Did you hear anything back? No. But how did you feel that wave? How is it that you felt that wave and it's way over there? Tell them. That's how you introduce them to God. That's how you make this summer radical with your kids. And all the while, listen, mom and dad, listen. Don't say, I'm going to take that challenge. It's going to be an awesome summer. I'm going to teach my kids about God. Kids, come on, gather around. Get your chairs. Form in the shape of an arc. I'll get a podium here. Let's put a cross up on the wall. Let's sing a few hymns and I'll give you a Bible study. Don't do that to your kids. You'll kill them. I almost kill you every week. Don't do that to them. You don't have to do that. Take them outside or expose them to God's other Bible. God's other Bible is His creation. Everything that God displays in His Word is displayed outside, even the fall. God says, this is how death comes. Man disobeys God. Death comes into the world. And when your kids watch a National Geographic, by the way, we never sheltered our kids from evolution type programs. We sat down intentionally and taught them about what does the evolutionists teach and why do they believe it. My kids knew the difference. Teach them about evolution. I would rather have you teach them about evolution than somebody teach them about evolution who believes in evolution. You teach them about evolution and creationism, and one is an accident and one is engineering. And which one matters in life? Everything you and I experience in life screams engineer. His name happens to be the Lord. Nothing comes out of an accident. So what do you do with that? I'll tell you what. You take a toy sand bucket. And you have your kids put stuff in it. What stuff? Any stuff. A doll, Play-Doh, marbles, a banana, anything. And then stick a firecracker in it. And light it. Oh, let me tell you, your kids are going to love this. And the whole thing explodes. And you tell them, well, kid, look, see that? That was a big bang. And I want you to go find the banana. Ain't no banana. Well, go find your doll. There's no doll. Nothing orderly comes out of an accident. Just like the second law of thermodynamics, entropy screams only that we go from order to chaos, not from chaos to order. The laws of science make it very clear. Your kids can know this by the age of 3 if you take them and introduce them to God by the world around them. That's why those little stinkers going down the hallway from the moment they're able to crawl, everything goes in the mouth. Why? Because that's the zone, man. That's the zone. What is that? They're analyzing. Did you know that? Pull. Memory takes a picture. Not that bug does not taste good. Other bugs do. This bug does not. I'm serious. God made us, made them that way. Develop that. Be intentional and introduce God into every moment of their entire life all summer long. It will happen. Which leads to this. Point number two, getting up and getting out. Get outside. Get outside the things that are read. Read the book or read that paragraph or show them the picture and then take them out to see it. I don't know. Depends on how old your kids are. Look, right now I got to pick on a two-year-old. That's what we have. We have a two-year-old granddaughter. So she has little books and she's naming things. That's a cow. That's a duck. That's a chicken and all this stuff. And it's great now being at the age I am. And now, you know, our kids don't live with us. They have their own homes now. So two pigeons got together, husband and wife, pigeons. We tell, that's a husband and wife. That's a family. They laid eggs at my son-in-law's and my daughter's house. They laid eggs. And now my son-in-law, he doesn't want those pigeons there because they're, you know, they're pooping on stuff and everything. And I said, hey, yeah, just deal with it. Because our granddaughter, Emily, can look out the window and watch this stuff happen. Right there. It's right there. So they lay the eggs. They're sitting on the nest. She's watching every day now. She goes and looks out the window, looks at the birds. And that's an absolute 100% teachable thing regarding the creation of God's power, the creation of God's engineering. And when you do that, it's great because, you know, it's, look, God's doing this. Look what God's doing. This is, and it develops the heart and the mind. You get them out of. Books are great. Books are fantastic. After you've read the book, go do it now. Isn't that Christianity? Read the book, then go do it. Far too many people read the book and don't do it. Teach your kid now, and you can do this. Everything that we have for you this summer in this information will help you do this stuff. This, remember George said about those recipe cards? Grab a recipe card. I don't know what to do. Read, just do the card, read it, and do it. And watch what happens. But you've got to want to do this. Okay, look, this way. Verses 6 and 7, I like this word. Maybe you don't get it, I love it. It's show them. A technicolor word. Or show them the technicolor word. The Bible. Technicolor. The Bible says in verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So there's no hypocrisy. Your kids understand. Mom and dad know God. You shall teach them diligently to your children. The word diligent means to prick the heart or mind, to stimulate, generate, cause, or excite. Now, listen. The technicolor word, your kids should know. Listen, I'm dead serious about this. I believe that in a house, because the way Jesus taught, remember when Jesus taught, he walked up to adults. And what did he do? He didn't give them, you know, the law of relativity, or he didn't give them aerodynamics. You know what he said? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus said to adults, consider the sparrow or the lilies of the field. Why did he do this? Because we get that. What would we say today? You know how you use your iPad? What will we use today? Consider the price of gasoline. Or whatever. It would go, man, I get that. He spoke in terms and in ways that was absolutely brilliant in color before the hearers. They got it. Do that with your kids. Again, please, spare me the email. I don't know what else to tell you, but how it is. God's my judge, and this is true. My granddaughter last night wouldn't eat. They were over at the house. She wouldn't eat. So how do you get a kid to eat? And she's going to go to bed soon, so, man, you got to eat something. And the mom and dad is like, hey, tough. She doesn't want to eat. She's just going to go to bed hungry. And I'm the grandparent going, no, you'll kill the kid. Because I'm thinking, I'm not going to go to bed without food. I'll even go to bed with food. And I said, Lisa, quick, get in the kitchen and make a Mickey Mouse pancake. Now, quick, go. And it was great. She goes, I don't know how to make a Mickey Mouse pancake. And I said, make three circles close to each other. They'll connect. It'll work out. She made a perfect Mickey Mouse pancake. But the pancake part's not enough because it's like, I don't know if I want to eat the pancake. So we pulled out the peanut butter. Listen, the answer to all the world's problems is peanut butter. You know that. You take peanut butter, and I poked my finger in the peanut butter, and I put it across her lip. Not Lisa, my granddaughter's. Across her lip, and she had to deal with that. You put on the... Nom, 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 nom. Then you... Watch me. I'm putting peanut butter on Mickey's ears and all over his face. You know what? She ate the entire Mickey Mouse pancake. A little kid ate the whole thing. Why? Number one, we asked her, who is that? Mickey. And then she tasted peanut butter. You know what her brain was? Think of the process in the brain. Oh, peanut butter. It's from God. And it is. Mickey Mouse. And she ate the whole thing. Listen, same thing with the Word of God. Live it out.
Do you guess who I am? Who am I with the big giant with the sword?
Act like an idiot with your kid. They'll go, man, that's Goliath. And Dad, you look like a fool. And they'll never forget it. Dad, will you do that, please?
Well, you know, I have my dignity.
Throw it out the window. It's only in your mind anyway. Come on. Live it. Do it. Listen, two things very quickly, and then we'll move on to the final point on this, is that you'll shape their thoughts that way. Can you write that down? You'll shape thought. That's a fun thing. You'll shape thought. You'll shape their thought process. You'll give them a biblical worldview, and they can't even hold the Bible yet. He says in verse 6 and 7, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Talk of God. Do you do that? Don't raise your hand. Do you do that? Do you talk about God? Well, that's a Sunday topic. Oh, brother. Every day, all the time. I don't know if I should say this. It was a blast, though. I did a wedding last night. It's beautiful. You know, yesterday was so beautiful. Last night was so beautiful. It was down in Orange County at this incredibly beautiful old world setting. It was spectacular. Bride and groom, so beautiful. Beautiful crowd. And so I'm standing there and we're going through the vows. And do you promise to love, honor? And I kept hearing this around my head. And I saw people kind of like looking. And I'm thinking, this doesn't sound good. And I had visions of those big black bumblebee things. I don't know if they sting or not, but they're big enough to carry a gun, so that concerns me. And so I can't run. Thank God. You know what it turned out to be? This thing goes around and it comes right on the other side of the bride and groom, right in the middle. And then it goes up and sits on a wire right in the middle of the thing. It was a hummingbird. Exactly what I did. And so do you promise to love, honor? And everyone's cameras go like this. And I said, do you guys see all that? Do you see that? You see that hummingbird? Isn't that amazing? Look at that thing. And everyone's just like, oh, is he allowed to say that in a wedding? And that's just the way that I'm wired. And then the next thing was, the same God that's blessing this wedding is the same God who made that hummingbird right there. My God made that hummingbird. Now, back to the wedding. But is it not true? Listen, that's how your kids think. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. See, our danger is we grow up. And that's not a virtue. It's not a good thing. Because with growth, without being like a child, we get bitter, angry, arrogant, self-righteous, self-dependent. Not good. And we also communicate to them that he's a loving God. In verse 7, he says that you will, listen, you do this when you walk by the way. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Man, grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, aunt and uncle when you walk by the way. Take that kid by the hand. You say, well, you're talking about little kids. You, listen, that's the great thing about grandpas and grandmas. You can grab a teenager's hand. So you come with me. By the way, I believe, I'm making this part up now. I believe that teenagers would have no problem taking the hand of a grandma and grandpa. They don't want mom and dad's hand. It's like, come on. But grandma and grandpa, there's a neat thing. There's a neat divine appointment that God has given a grandma and a grandpa that they can walk up to that 15-year-old and say, hey, hold my hand, will you? They're thinking, oh, grandpa needs his hand held. Little does that guy know. You're saying, hey, buddy, listen up. I got to tell you something. You've been given an incredible authority to do that, grandma and grandpa, and mom and dad. When you walk by the way, the Bible says when you lie down, I'm dead serious about what I'm going to say. Tuck your kids into bed. If you've never done it, start tonight. Are you kidding? He's 18. Are you feeding them? Tuck them. No tuck, no food. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Ask my daughters. Ask my daughters. Because you know what? Lisa and I tucked our kids into bed all the way up until their wedding night. And they, listen, my kids might say, my dad's nuts, my dad's crazy, whatever. He's major ADD, whatever. Let me tell you, they will have to admit, yeah, he did pray over us and tuck us into bed every night. Start that now. See, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You tuck. You kind of move their pillow a little bit. Grab them by the shoulder. Say, are you good? You all right? Yeah. All right then. Here we go. That's the way I always do it. I always go, okay, here we go. Well, where are we going? We're going to the throne of God. Will you just lay there and go to sleep? Just, I'm going to pray for you. And you start praying. Say, I don't know what to say. Just step up. God will give you something to say. And look, don't preach a sermon again, mother, laying down there. Dear Lord, bless their sleep. Keep Rebecca or keep Ashley, Susie, Bob, jump, whatever. Keep them safe tonight. Great dreams, Lord. When they awake in the morning, may their first thoughts be of you. Bless their health. May nothing be going wrong. And this is a prayer. It's going to sound like it's just repeated over and over again because it is. And Lord, I ask you to single her out and mom and dad, this family, this home, all that our hands touch. I'm asking you, Lord, to, as a witness to the world, make us an object of your grace, of your mercy, and of your affection. In Jesus' name, amen. And you walk out of the room. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you are a 19-year-old boy or girl. You're just going to go, yeah. Now, they might say, that's corny, Dad. And then you walk out of the room, and they'll just go, yeah. Try it. Start now. And final, we'll end with this. Leaving them a legacy. This isn't going to take long. Verses 8 to 9. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. Wow. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Whatever the kid sees, it's because you've taught him how to see. You've taught him how to look. Whatever the kid touches, it's because you've taught them how to touch. The word of God is on your hand, Dad and Mom. And the word of God is in between your eyes, Mom and Dad, and the kids will catch that. You're going to become like you're led. And you shall write them, listen to this physical part, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. How cool is that? You know, this is a very emotional time of the year. It's graduation time for a lot of people. I went to a doctor the other day. And he said, yes, you know, can I help you? And I go, yeah, I'm here for this thing going on. And he starts talking, and then he goes, he said something. And I said, oh, your child is graduating. And it was amazing. I mean, he's the doctor. And he just gets all teary-eyed, and my kid's going off to college, and man, I hope we just raised them right. And I said, why don't you lay down on my couch here? And... No, I couldn't say that because I didn't have any clothes on. So it was kind of hard to act with authority, you know. So it was amazing, though, because you know what? I said, well, it sounds like you really care about your kid. I do. I said, well, you know what? You're going to go through that. We all go through that. It's a chapter. It's changing. He goes, I don't want the chapter to change. I go, well, it's going to change if you like it or not. But you've done the right thing. And you're sending your child off. And you poured yourself into them. You did the right thing. I said, frankly, I'd be a little bit concerned if you'd say, thank God my kid's heading off to New York. Good, glad to get rid of her. That'd have been a problem. No, listen. He's left a legacy. You and I don't, doesn't matter who you are right now, you're leaving a legacy. Did you know that? Well, I'm not doing anything. I just said you're leaving a legacy of nothing. Your kids and grandkids are going to grow up going, well, no. Because you left them nothing. I saw a company the other day. The world knows to do this. Legacy Financial Group on a billboard. Legacy Financial Group. And it said, investment, future, estate planning, all this stuff. And I thought, look at the world. The world knows what they're doing. Christians, we should know how to pass this on more than anybody. What shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world and loses his children's own soul? We must leave them a legacy, and we must do it now. We must be intentional about what we're doing. And so we want to leave them a legacy of faith. Let your kids see your faith. Let your kids catch you praying. Let your kids, I'm not kidding, let your kids see you write your tithe check or make your tithe offering to God. Let them see it. That you're honoring God. Let your kids see this, stuff like this regarding faith. Hey, let's pray for our neighbors. They're sick. Dear God, we pray in Jesus' name that you'd heal our neighbors and that they would come to know your love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. End of prayer. That long, that fast. It may be more than what you're doing right now. Do it. Number two, values. Talked a little bit about that earlier. He said it's going to be a sign. That's a great word. The word sign right here is that you're going to leave to them a monument. Values. We could talk about values endlessly. No one, in my opinion, when your children are younger and young, no one should pour more into them regarding values than you. No one. And the final thing is this, and it looks kind of corny on the screens. Check it out. It's the third thing, and we'll end with this. Leaving them a legacy of servanthood worship. I had servanthood, and then I had worship. And then I thought about it, and I said, no, wait a minute. I don't think the Lord separates servanthood worship. If we're going to worship God, what did God say? What did the Lord say? If we're really going to worship Him, we worship Him in spirit and in truth, yes, but you know what? It's to love one another, huh? To serve one another. If I love God, I'm supposed to love you. In servanthood. Getting back to that wedding that I did last night, wasn't a dry eye in the place. You want to know why? This is happening a lot, by the way, now in weddings. Is before I get to pronounce that they're husband and wife, their first public act as husband and wife, because technically, if you guys know the rules, as soon as they recite their vows before me and God, right, in that setting, according to God, they're married at that moment. But we have a tradition of saying, you know, I now pronounce you husband and wife. So I said, their first public act of truly now being married will be this. And I stepped aside. And she sat down, the bride sat down, and he rolled up her dress or moved up her dress or whatever you do with it. And he took off her slipper thing and began washing her feet. And let me tell you, he starts crying. Okay? And then people are crying. Everyone's crying. Photographers, it was great. They're going, it was so cool. And so everyone was thinking, well, that's okay, that's what he does. And wow, let me tell you what was really powerful. She was in all of her incredibly beautiful gown. And then he sits down. And she is laboring with her dress. And she gets down. And it was an effort. And she's like this. And you see her. And she's washing his feet. And she's crying. He's crying. Everybody's crying. Servanthood, worship. If I love my kids, if you love your kids, if you love your grandkids, for the next 120 days, we are inviting you to take this recipe card, this kit. The information that was handed to you will help. Go to the website and take your faith and make it happen every day. And watch how God honors your effort. You see, it's been really quiet in the sanctuary right now today. See, well, it's not really a sermon. That's true. It's an exhortation. That's for sure. Instruction, yeah. But you know why we're quiet today? Is because it's convicting. Because it's like, really? I'm going to do this? I hope so. I told my son-in-law last night, I said, you know, it's a really amazing time for me to be alive right now. I said, because at just the time when my daughters had grown up and married good guys, I thought, I'm done. Great. I'm getting out of here. If I drop dead or get run over by a tank or something, that's fine with me. And then I told him, I said, but now there's a granddaughter and there's other babies coming. And now I want to stick around. And that has caused me, I'm torn between two things. I would rather go home and be with Jesus, which is far better. But it's necessary that I stay. And so I'm torn between two things. And so it's caused me to really be concerned about my days. It's caused me to limit or to number, I should say, my days. He said, what do you mean? And I said, I'm sure I take things for granted, but I take a lot less for granted these days than I did 10 years ago. And I said, I think that's why as a grandparent, you know, when the kid is supposed to eat but doesn't, as a grandparent now, Snickers have incredible nutritional value. She hasn't eaten her vegetables. Here's a Hershey's Kiss. Take that. Why? Because you know stuff. Life's precious. And they'll survive. Twinkies will kill you. Oh, but just dip them in chocolate milk. It's better that way. You know what I'm talking about? As you get older, Christians, isn't it great getting older? It's like, oh, praise the Lord. It's a win-win. If I drop dead, I go to heaven. If I stay, I get to pour a little bit of my life into someone else. We have a great, great God, huh? Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your words. Lord, we pray that you would hold our feet to the fire on this one. Don't let us get away from this. It's practical stuff. And nothing will be better than for us to have our children or our grandchildren with us in heaven. And we're asking you, Lord, to cause us all to have a brand new start today. Tell our kids and grandkids by every bit of action and how we live that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves us. That he died on the cross for their sins and for ours. That he rose again from the grave. That Jesus is God, ascended back to heaven where he came from. And that this world he has given us, that if we just slow down and look around, we'd understand your word so much better. And so, Father, I pray for this church. I pray for this body of believers in this service. That they would have the most amazing summer. Not because the sun's out, not because it's perfect, not because of anything else. But because it's opportunity. How good of you, God, it is. That the days come early now. And then the days are long and the night comes late. That we might have more time to talk about you. In Jesus' name. Church, let's stand in our worship of him.